You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Now they're putting protein in coffee.
That's been going on a while.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
What would you like for your protein, sir? Coffee?
No, it's what would you like in your coffee, sir? Protein.
I think they're going to start putting protein in everything. Would you like a protein oil change?
We basically need to because we don't eat good protein anymore.
Yeah.
But I won't step on my
Let's take
the governor a harumph.
Let's take a dive back from the entire 3 o'clock hour of the show.
Like I said, I will not step on my soapbox.
The latest functional beverage trend is not asking consumers to develop a new habit. It's asking them to upgrade one they already have. As interest in protein consumption continues to grow, protein coffee has emerged as a popular way for consumers to combine two staples of their morning routine into a single drink.
Okay, I will comment.
You just can't help yourself.
It is important that we keep an eye on how much synthetic protein we're consuming.
Okay.
Protein that you're adding to your coffee is synthetic protein. Your body's ability to digest certain levels of synthetic protein becomes a point of concern. You really need to try to reach your protein goals or get as close as you can to your protein goals through food. But if you want to try to bump up those numbers with a protein coffee, more power to you.
Also, I bought one of these packets of protein coffee once, and you just add hot water and you stir it up. It's grody. It was no good.
Yeah, I'm just a straight black coffee guy.
Maybe at least, you know, I'd do that over the bulletproof coffee they were doing for a while where you just put butter in it.
That's not too bad.
That was rough.
That's right, Texan. We also need more fiber. Let's get some fiber coffee going. What would that taste like?
A poop.
Ah, crap. The storm front has moved east of us now.
Cooler
temps
tonight.
Clinton's about to get pounded.
Who's getting pounded?
Clinton.
Oh. There's a joke there, man. Don't touch it, Scott. Don't touch it. Don't you dare touch it.
14-year-old. That's a Dana-ism right there.
I did not have sex. Never mind.
When was he not?
All right.
Okay. So, protein.
More protein coffee articles.
Sam.
In your backyard pool now?
What have you said it twice this afternoon, both times during a top of the hour?
What's that?
Well, what have you said?
Oh, I want to go home. It's a rough day.
Let me give you some advice you didn't ask for. You can always start your day over again.
Yeah, well, tomorrow's a new day. For some inside baseball, we have lost internet twice in the last 2 days. Yes, that is once per day. And that means that our backdoor systems to upload things like weather and traffic stop working. And then I have muscle memory because I do this every day. And so I click the same button, but that's not the button I'm supposed to click. I'm supposed to click a different button, and then I get mad at myself. And here we are.
I got a prediction here.
I'm going to do it wrong the next time?
I got a prediction. No.
Oh.
Completely back to our original article topic.
Protein coffee?
You're going to start to see protein-laced alcoholic beverages in a can, and they're going to promote it kind of like they do the Michelob Ultra. You're going to see like people like working out, you know, doing a CrossFit workout, and then they're going to like sit down and crack open a
protein beer?
Like, there's a commercial just like that, except they crack open a Michelob Ultra at the end of their workout.
Does beer not have protein in it?
We're going to get to the point where they're adding protein to our protein.
From the text line, I would wreck my car before getting a protein coffee. Okay, that seems a little aggressive, but whatever.
I would
whatever.
Stab myself in the eyeball.
Well, I need my coffee in the morning, too.
Oh, my gosh.
From the text line, I tried it once for the why not thought. I got the... I'm not going to name the store. After my chiropractor's appointment one morning, after paying someone to beat up my back, I should have pre-read that before I started reading it.
You know, what I do instead of protein coffee is I have my cup of black coffee and I have it with a side of eggs, like an e-breakfast.
I should have pre-read that one.
I mean, it's quite
You are the screener, are you not?
Well, I'm not doing anything right today, so I might as well not do that right.
You're doing just fine. There have been a couple of technical, we're going to call them glitches, and we're going to restart our day at 5:10.
But I start every day with a protein shake. First thing I drink I drink water and then a protein shake and then coffee.
I always drink water first.
Whey is okay. Whey protein?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not synthetic. It's an actual real thing. It comes from milk. I mean, it's processed, but.
No way.
All right.
If you're doing one whey protein shake and you want to do a second protein shake, you should do collagen. But now we're back to the 3 o'clock hour.
All right.
From the time she was a child, this is from CBS News, Christine Regal of New Jersey knew she wanted to be a teacher. I just love working with kids. The 54-year-old Regal tells CBS News, I love the kids. I mean, I've been teaching for 26 years and I still remain in contact with a lot of them. And listen to this. And I find this a little bit hard to believe. According to the annual Walton Family Foundation and Gallup Teaching for tomorrow, it's a report, a little wordy there, okay? We need to trim that down a little bit. 21% of K-12 public school teachers say they were struggling financially. Okay, I can believe that, okay? We all know teachers aren't paid enough. But 71% of the teachers surveyed said they work at least one second job. Now, does that mean in the summer you take on a, you know, because you have some, no offense, teachers, my brother's in education, a lot of friends in education, but there is a little bit of downtime in the summer, more often than not, unless you're doing continuing education.
Or summer school, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, okay. But does that qualify as your, quote, second job?
I mean, I think that what this list is getting at is more so picking up waiting tables at night or tending some bar on the weekend. Or I know of teachers who get jobs in the physical fitness space and go teach classes at, you know, cycle studios and things like that.
Yeah. Some teachers are becoming influencers, like Instagram influencers.
We have a couple here in the Kansas City metro.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Miss Dugan's one of them. Yep. She's been on 96.5 The Fan a couple of times.
They're allowed to do that?
So long as they keep the content
very generic,
except, well, the idea being if a student comes across your content, it cannot be inappropriate.
Like the teachers who are on OnlyFans and then get,
those are going to get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would argue rightfully so.
And I've heard interviews with her. She says, you know, in class,
First Amendment.
I've got to like toe the line, you know, when one of the kids comes into class and says, hey, I saw your recent post, and you got to kind of divert and go, okay, well, we're in English class now, so that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Dan, I hear you on the First Amendment, but, I can say the F word on this radio station once.
It's your last broadcast,
hey,
right?
If you are running a subscription-based internet thing, hey, more power to you.
From the text line, my daughter is a teacher influencer. Also from the text line, I know lots of teachers and principals, and not a single one of them have an extra job. They just take the summer off.
My brother's a vice principal, and now, but he was a math teacher, high school math teacher for years. And I don't think I've ever known him to have a second job.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well,
administration makes a little bit more.
Well, but he hasn't always been a vice principal. He's only been a vice principal for about 5 years now.
Hmm. Now he's part of the top heavy class. I'm just kidding. I think this story, obviously, teacher pay has been a trigger point. It's been a driver of conversation for a long time. It's been an issue for a long time. That's why it's been that trigger point. But in modern society, I think most people have a second job. I don't know a lot of people who have a job where they're like, man, I'm making so much money that I can just pay rent and go live my life and have fun.
You clearly, with your physical training that you've gotten really into over the couple of years, you have a second job.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Started a business.
Yeah. Okay. You have a second job.
Yeah.
I do a little bit of voice work for a guy out in Oregon.
Yeah.
Not a lot. It used to be a lot more than it is now, but you know, he's getting up there in age, and I think the business is slowly winding down.
You're a voice model?
No, I voice commercials for financial companies all over the country. But is that a second job?
It is.
Huh.
So we call it a side gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still a second job. You got to pay taxes on it, you know?
Yeah? I do. Oh, yeah.
So I hear the sentiment of this story, and I understand why it's being put out there, and I fully agree with the entire conversation that's been going on for, quite frankly, decades now, that teachers need to make more money. But it's interesting that that's the angle they took when, if you really zoom out and look at the grand scheme of things, most people cannot get by on their single income, and that's sad for our society.
Hmm.
And does that mean that we're too gluttonous now? Does that mean that we're in a situation where things are just too expensive? The rent is too darned high?
It's too damn high.
I'm sure all of those are factors.
Or have, you know, homes out here in Northeast Johnson County, Roland Park, Mission, to a lesser extent, Fairway, which has kind of gotten a little ritzy. But these homes that you drive by in Ropo and Mission and Merriam, these used to be considered these little three-bedroom, one-car garages. That was middle-class housing in the 1940s and 50s.
A starter home.
Now you got to have three-car garage. You got to keep up with the Jones.
Yeah.
If they have it, I need to have it.
Right.
You know? And that is a horrible way to financially live your life.
I'm trying to think back.
Lack of contentment.
I used to know, we used to hang out pretty regularly with about 10 different teachers here in the metro. Don't really hang out with that friend group anymore, but I don't know of any of them that had a second job in the years that we were hanging out.
913-586-7798. This story says 71%. It's from Gallup, so you know it's good. It says 71% of teachers surveyed say they work at least one second job. Now, is this on the weekends, or are we talking about a summer? I had a social studies teacher in high school in Lansing, who I guess he had a second job, because in the summer, when I would work at Food for Less, I don't even know if that company still exists, he was in the butcher department.
Well, there you go, yeah.
But he only worked there the end of May, all of June, all of July, and the beginning of August. Then he would quit at the butcher shop and go back to teaching full time. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So we've had a couple of technical glitches today. No, nobody's fault, but Sam just said off the air, after my performance today, I'm going to need a new first job.
Good God. As a perfectionist, this is really messing with my head.
When I hear the mistake and I look in that studio and your gigantic ape-like arms go shooting into the air, like you're trying to see if you can be seated and touch the ceiling, that's pretty awesome.
Hope you don't have any insecurities about your arms there, Sam.
Oh, they're long. It's okay. I know. I have 6'8", 6'9" wingspan.
Aaron, 913-586-7798. Aaron, what's up?
Hey, guys. So any teacher that works as a school coach or, you know, runs a club or whatever that gets paid for that, that's a second job. It's not their primary job, so that would be a second job. And then the other thing with that is that I think a lot of teachers could probably get by with their salary, even it being low in the Midwest. So your guys' idea of, you know, not knowing any teachers that have a second job, because it has been relatively, until currently, low cost to live in the Midwest. Whereas if this Gallup poll was taken on either coast, teachers are more likely to have to work that second job in order to make ends meet.
Maybe. By the way, the teacher that they feature in this story, Christine Regal, her second job is waitressing.
Yeah, so she's probably doing that at night, after school.
What was the first paragraph of that story? Something about she keeps in touch with all of her students. Did I hear that?
She says she's 54.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She says, I just love working with kids. I love the kids. I mean, I've been teaching for 26 years, and I still remain in contact with a lot of them.
So one of my favorite teachers in my entire life was my ninth grade biology teacher. And fantastic teacher, enthusiastic. And then I saw her, that was in junior high, and then I saw her a few years walking through my high school. Only a few years removed from the class, and I went up to her and I said, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you. And she looked at me with this blank stare like, I have no idea who you are. It was like a rough moment for me.
Oh, I had a professor, my calculus professor actually, before I switched over to radio in college, who his first day of class was a big long lecture about how you guys will remember me, but I won't remember you. And I'm like, what a weird way to start a calculus class. And then I dropped his class and he came and sat
that was why
lunch with me every day. He remembered me.
Oh, really? Yeah. He's like, you're the guy who dropped my class.
Uh-huh. I think I only have contact, and not a lot with one of them, but with three people that either coached or taught me as a kid. Mm-hmm. Coach Hodum, the Lansing High School football coach, he and I still get together for breakfast a couple times a year. Max Utzler, former professor at KU, and Tom Volek, former professor at KU.
I have a similar relationship with my senior year. I took 1 year of yearbook. It was my senior year. And Kevin Mays, who listens to the show, I do believe.
Oh, thank you, Kevin.
Retired Olathe School District teacher. We still, on occasion, grab lunch or breakfast. And that's pretty cool. That was a good experience.
I have to think, and I don't want to think this, but, you know, I'm 54 years old. And some of those teachers were, well, back then, everybody looked older than they really were. If you look at the yearbooks, and I think to myself, that teacher, I must have thought he was 80 years old, and he was probably 45.
Yeah. Just, those darn kids, they just age you quickly.
I have a picture of my dad and me and my brother in my master closet. It's just a very small 4x6 or whatever picture. And we're at my brother's graduation. He graduated in 1993, I think. Almost positive. My dad would have been 49. Looks like he's 60, if not older. People are aging, or at least appearance-wise, at a much slower rate.
It's the whole wellness thing again.
Oh, here we go.
Yep. I'm not going to get into it.
Here we go.
Don't worry.
So, you know, you graduate high school and your teachers start popping up as suggested friends on Facebook. And so you add your favorite teachers on Facebook. I'll see like one of my classmates' birthdays. All my favorite teachers will be wishing them a happy birthday. Or they'll comment on each other's stuff on Facebook. And I'm like, I was a good student too, right? I was memorable. Why aren't you? I don't get a happy birthday from you.
Are you Facebook friends with them?
Yeah.
Were you a star athlete?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I ran track pretty well, but other than that, I was clumsy. I looked like a giraffe learning to walk.
I have a question about your dad, Scott.
Okay.
Did he, because, you know, you see, you know, soldiers, World War II movies kind of show it, Vietnam movies show it, but there was a lot of like, you know, the soldiers were always smoking cigarettes out in the field. Mm-hmm. Was your dad a smoker when he was in the field?
He was a smoker. Both he and my mom smoked until they were in their late 40s, probably.
Okay. I think that's one of the factors that makes people look a lot older than they are.
My mom quit smoking. My mom had a heart attack when she was like 53 years old. Not a massive one, but it was a scare, no doubt about it. And she's going to hate that I told this story. But, you know, the doctors were like, hey, you gotta eat better. You gotta quit smoking. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was one of these, I turned into the black sheep of the family. But, you know, when I was like 12, I thought, my God, my parents smoked. This is so gross. And I remember finding, my parents smoked Winston cigarettes. And I remember finding a pack one time, walking out into the living room and just shredding it with my hand. And I said, this is going to kill you, and threw it in the trash and whatever. She just probably went out and bought another pack. But I don't remember why my dad quit smoking, but he did probably about 4 years before he died, mm-hmm. give or take. And he didn't smoke a lot. He drank a ton of coffee. I mean, a ridiculous amount of coffee, which is, you know, everything in moderation. He's drinking a pot or more a day. Mm-hmm. And but he was one of these guys. I mean, and I'll stop talking about my dad in a second, but
I asked in your defense.
He would drink a cup of coffee at 7:30 at night and fall asleep at 8:30 like nothing happened.
That's the Reed family right here. I'll go over to my parents' house and at 5:30 for dinner, and my mom will ask me if I want a cup of coffee while I'm waiting, sitting there. Mm. We're impervious to caffeine, I think. I'm drinking coffee right now. I got it in the thermos.
Are you really?
Right here.
Yeah.
Is there protein in it?
Just fiber.
Just fiber. All right. We'll find some more stories about death coming up in just a moment. Sam Stevie the Third, Jesse Reed, Commander, and my name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Forgive me if you start hearing chattering in here. It's my teeth.
It's an ice box in here. Meat locker.
Oh, my God.
When the show started, it was so hot in here, I considered doing it with my shirt off. Now, well, I won't finish that. It's cold.
Oh, my God. Jesse and I just went for a walk down the hall to go visit the little boys' room. And I'm walking back into the studio, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's cold in here.
Hey, it could be worse. We could be on a construction crew.
You're right.
Pushing asphalt.
I'm a big,
we're not digging ditches in the summer.
I'm a big whiner, and you're absolutely right. All right, Sam, you wanted to talk about it. Here it comes. Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas introduced an ordinance to support an expansion of CPKC Stadium and development areas around the Berkeley Riverfront. The project would increase capacity at CPKC Stadium, home of the Kansas City Current, as well as add more parking, trails, new storefronts, and other mixed-use spaces. That development project is expected to cost $1.4 billion.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. Current owners and investments from the state of Missouri would also help support the project.
So, I've got some troubles with this one. One, they bragged endlessly, and I mean endlessly, about it being a privately funded stadium, which it was at the beginning.
That is correct.
Creating the first ever female dedicated sports stadium in the world.
In the world.
Incredible. Great job. Bravo.
Mm-hmm. However,
they also completely neglected the whole parking issue. If I'm being completely honest, they built a high school stadium.
Ooh.
It's metal bleachers. My high school had concrete bleachers. it's awesome. It's a great environment. I love it inside. I've been to a couple games. I plan to go back.
However,
why did we rush this to create what obviously they consider to be a subpar stadium if they're already renovating it 3-4 years later? How many years has it been?
Let me look that up.
Part of the expansion includes more seats and a revamped look of the inside of the stadium. I'm sure it's going to be absolutely stunning. But now we're turning to the taxpayer to say, pay for this. Like that.
Who were the private funders originally?
The Long family, okay. The Mahomes family. There were a number of different families that bought in.
I feel like the Morton Amphitheater, and I had friends there just last night. They're just now finally starting to do concerts there who are just raving about this place. But I think the way that came about is sort of should really set the standard for how we build things in the private funding. I mean, it seems like, was it Live Nation that essentially funded most of that?
Entirely funded by Live Nation,
it's just fantastic. I'm excited to go to a show out there at some point, but...
And I'm sure the buildup of the Berkeley Riverfront is going to be absolutely stunning. One of the things they're going to address with the expansion is the parking issue. I love that. They said they're going to put in more trails around the area. Not sure how that's going to help with the soccer portion of it, but love the idea of trails. Get out and get in nature, get moving. They're building more apartment complexes that 70% of the city won't be able to afford.
It only opened, by the way, 2 years ago.
And they're already renovating it. So it's obvious that I'm not out of line with my comments that they could have rushed. Done a better job.
Yeah.
Now, I will grant you, because I've only been to one match out there. I will grant you, though, that parking was an issue.
Yeah.
I think this was in the 2024 season, if I'm not mistaken. So the first one. And I do remember thinking to myself, they've really got to fix this parking. This idea that, you know, a lot of people are just going to take the streetcar, you know, park somewhere else is not necessarily a saleable idea to the fan base.
Well, and the idea being that you can park in the Berkeley Riverfront and take the streetcar over, as if there's a lot of, not Berkeley, pardon me, the
City Market.
City Market, thank you. As if there's a lot of available parking in the City Market. There is not.
Well, no, there isn't. And you probably know that better than anybody. You were ticketed.
Oh, yeah. I got a parking ticket down there where there was no sign. And now there's signs there. and not to mention, just from a city standpoint, we're not doing well. We're struggling. We've been struggling. I know that's a tough thing to say right now. We've got FIFA here. It looks like we are, according to the reports, crime is down despite all of the business owners and people in the city disagreeing with those reports. overall, money-wise, we're not doing well. And we just committed a bunch of money to the Royals Stadium, and now we're trying to commit more money to expansions at the CPKC Stadium. And if you remember correctly, when we were talking about the budget, we were talking about being $110 million in arrears.
Yeah. Anytime we're spending money, this is my philosophy, my opinion, spending taxpayer money on these things, you got to ask yourself, what is the return on that investment going to be?
And who's going to get the return?
Yeah. Is this going to bring economic benefit to the area or not?
Now, let me play the devil's advocate for a second. Regarding the renovations up at the CPKC, the new Kauffman Stadium that more likely than not is going to go in Midtown, city leaders would argue with you. Kansas City Sports Commission members would argue with you. If we're not moving forward, we're going backwards.
Fair.
If we don't invest, there is no return.
How are you going to pay for it?
Well, Sam, do I look like a mayor?
Now, granted, this comes from a disgruntled, now Kansas City resident, who, you know, has $200 water bills, because I learned last time we talked about it that they were allegedly or were found by the EPA to be dumping sewage into the river, and that's why my water bill is $200. There's a lot of things to be frustrated as a Kansas City resident. If my credit card's maxed out, which I don't have a credit card, but just using that as an analogy, and I'm late on rent and I'm missing my car payment, I'm not going to go buy a Corvette. And not only did we just go buy a Corvette, we also bought a Harley, or we're trying to buy a Harley. This hasn't passed yet.
Are you comparing CPKC Park to a Harley-Davidson motorcycle?
Well, yeah, I'm saying the new Royals Stadium will be the Corvette, which we just agreed to buy, and now we're trying to buy a Harley.
Well, and you bought the Corvette 2 years ago. Now you're finally putting wheels on it.
Yeah, well, I hate to be the Nelly naysayer, and I've kind of taken that role on this show when it comes to massive civic change regarding the stadium conversation, the airport conversation. What are we doing? You can't just continue to extend the line of credit hoping that at some point it's going to collapse on itself and everything's going to be okay.
You said if you're not moving forward, you said that phrase earlier, Scott. What do you define as moving forward? Just building things?
Well, here's what I know. And I don't know a lot. But I'm old enough to remember being downtown covering name your bribery federal case against state lawmaker X or state senator Y. And, you know, the court would get out at 5:15 in the afternoon. And I was a young beat reporter and here at KMBZ. And I would walk to my car in wherever the hell it was and drive through downtown to go back to the radio station to write some stories for the next morning's news. And I remember driving through what looked like an abandoned city. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the old adage was you could fire off a cannon at 5:15 in the afternoon and there would be no one downtown to call 911. It was partially true. And now I drive through this city and I'm just amazed what has happened to this town over the last 25 years. That did not happen without investment.
Mm-hmm.
Much of it from the city, much of it from the state, fine. But this city is 1,000 times better, especially in the downtown area, than it was when I was much younger. And a lot of the credit, I think, goes to former Mayor Kay Barnes. I've said that for years. She needs a statue outside of City Hall. And I think she's too modest to accept it anyway, but whatever. Is CPKC Park perfect? No. And Sam's right. There are metal bleachers in there.
The whole thing is metal bleachers.
Right. I think the field is excellent.
Oh, I love the energy. Like I said, I've been to multiple games. The way it looks over the river is incredible.
Yeah.
But it seems kind of like they rushed it
a little bit. Well, and I think you can make the argument, and legitimately so, that some things were done on the cheap. Especially originally the parking situation.
Well, yeah, the gravel lot that didn't even have lines in
that,
it.
That didn't even have enough spots for the 10,000 people who might be coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're advising me to park at Union Station and take the trolley out to the soccer stadium, that's not a parking plan. It just isn't. Now, I haven't been out this season, and I wasn't out last season. I'm sure they've made some major improvements. But I did get the impression when I was out there, wow, this field is perfect. But parts of the stadium looked like they were kind of, we gave it to the third lowest bidder. And, you know, you get what you pay for, but Power Light, T-Mobile Center, these things did not come to us. And I ask any Kansas Cityan, would you want to give them back? The Power and Light District, T-Mobile Center. I remember going to a Van Halen concert at Kemper Arena, and the seats weren't even bolted to the concrete floor anymore. I remember sitting there, my brother's looking around, he was from Wichita, and he's like, you know, Kemper still isn't that bad. It's okay. And I rocked us back in our row of seats.
I was going to say, was that before or after the tile fell out of the ceiling?
I believe that was before.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking. And I rocked us back in the seats. I go, you still think it's that nice? And he goes, oh my. I go, Steve, the seats are not even bolted to the floor. It was that bad. You know, now, that came with significant investment.
Private or public?
I think both.
I know, like, Power and Light was, you know, that was funded by Star Bonds in part, was it not?
No, I think Power and Light was, and I'm going to mix one of these up. I don't remember if it was Power and Light or the T-Mobile Center that was funded. Steve Glorioso, may God bless him, came up with this brilliant plan to make it look like St. Louis is our backdoor enemy. Let's bilk them on new taxes for rental cars, for hotels, and we'll get people from outside of Kansas City to build us. I think it was the T-Mobile Center. I'm going totally off memory now, and a bad one at that. And Kansas City was like, yeah, let's stick it to St. Louis. Screw them.
Mm-hmm.
And those rental car fees and those hotel fees both passed.
I mean, I know there's a lot of these projects that have been funded by public money are struggling. I have heard that the Power and Light is struggling. There's places like in Johnson County, Prairie Fire, I think is a great example, struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Well, here's a perfect example of where Prairie Fire screwed up, and I know we're late for break. When Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley build a bar, mm-hmm. restaurant grill bar out there, and there's hardly any KISS stuff in it, where's my attraction? I'm a big KISS fan.
Yeah, that's the problem with it.
Shut up! Hey, let me tell you about Hy-Vee and their incredible perks program. Hy-Vee's free perks membership rewards you with access to dozens of weekly specials and fuel saver deals that will stack up and save me a lot of money at the pump. This summer, with the Hy-Vee Perks card, you can get free delivery on grocery orders of $75 or more. See the store for details. Free grocery delivery is a game changer for my busy schedule. So I upgraded to a Perks Plus membership, and I get free delivery on every order plus lots of other savings and benefits. Go to Hy-Vee.com/perks to save now. Save time, save money. What could be better? Only at Hy-Vee. Hey, let's go to Teresa and Shawnee real quick to wrap up the show. Hello, Teresa.
Hey, thanks for putting me on. You're so much cheaper than a psychiatrist to vent my anger over the Power and Light District. I'm going to give you two quick examples. About 4 months ago, my husband took us to the Sprint Center or T-Mobile Center, whatever, and we saw a comedian, and he dropped me and my son off, and he went to park the car, and we're cheap, so he parked quite a bit away. Well, he said, hun, do you want me to go get the car and pick you up? It's kind of sketch where we're parked. And I walk 3 miles a day, so I'm like, I'll walk it. He goes, are you sure it's sketch? And so I had no idea. I should have asked for the definition of what sketch meant. As we were walking, it got less and less people. There were so many people on the sidewalk. We hit a bus, like depot something. There had to have been 10 men laying on the floor. One of them was either in a seizure or something like that. And I'm like, you said sketch, but you didn't say, you know, how bad this would be. He goes, I told you I would go get the car and come back.
So that's just one example, and that was like 4 months ago. Then this week, I'm a nurse practitioner, and we had a hosted dinner at a very nice restaurant, and we had to pay $20 for parking to go to this restaurant. And I'm just like, well, that was our big complaint, all of us nurse practitioners. We said, we don't want to ever come down here. There was a few of the people that did park far away, and they said they were very scared and they kept their purse close to them. And
hey, I got to stop you there. Teresa, thank you for the call, but we are up against the clock. Commander Reed, we will see you in that pilot seat tomorrow.
Sit right 2 o'clock. Seat. You're in the captain's chair.
No, sir. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. That guy over there is Commander Jesse Reed. We will see you tomorrow. Birthdays today. Joe Montana is 70. Kenny Wayne Shepherd is 49. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.